Okay, we were learning Siman Daled, Sifya Gimel last week, which introduced us, okay, Zel Mamzer, to the topic of Mamzeris. And last week I mentioned, I guess, the more exotic Mamzeris shaylos, including the IVF and similar questions. This week, before I go on to Sifya Daled, I want to discuss Reb Tarfon Zeitza regarding being Mitar Mamzerim. As you know, in Masechtas Kedushin and the Samach Tes, near the end of the Masechta, the Gemara says that Reb Tarfon has an Eitzah for Mamzerim to have children that are Mutar Bakal. The Mamzer himself can never become Eis Mamzer, but the main issue of a Mamzer is that he can't have children who are Mutar Bakal. A mamzer is allowed to marry a ger, is allowed to marry another mamzer, but the problem is that their offspring are going to be mamzerim. And mamzeris, unlike almost anything else, have vlad hoylech achar apogum. If either of the parents is a mamzer, the vlad doesn't go after the mother, goes to the father, vlad hoylech achar apogum, which means that there's an issue with the child of a mamzer. So Reb Tarfon came up with an eitzah. And his eitzah is for a mamzer to marry a shifcha kananis, and the child, I say marry, I don't mean dinei kedushin, I mean to be miyachid a shifcha kananis, to live with her, have children from a shifcha kananis. The child of a shifcha kananis is an eved kanani, and then by freeing the eved kanani becomes a kosher Yisrael. That was Reb Tarfon Zeitza. So Reb Tarfon Zeitza does not work for a mamzeres, because a mamzeres, even if a mamzeres want to marry somehow an eved kanani, the child would still go after the mother. So it's not an eitzah for a mamzeres. It's only an eitzah for a mamzer. But okay, hatzala porta mi'alahavi. It'll be something of a hatzala. Now, before I go into it, you understand that as a practical matter, it's kind of difficult. If a mamzer were to come to me and say, look, I want to do Reb Tarfon Zeitza, what do? I tell him, well, you got to start dating goyim. There are no shifcha kananis around these days. You have to date a goy, get a guy who's interested in marrying you and in converting to Judaism, and willing to go through this whole formal process of first becoming a shifcha kananis, and then... And becoming a shifcha kananis and having a child and then freeing the child. So it is a practical matter. It's not so practical. Rabbi Tendler is quoted as saying that Reb Moshe was maskim to do the eitzah for a mamzer, but the mamzer couldn't find a guy that was willing to A, marry him, B, become a Jew, and C, go through the shifcha kananis process on the way. I don't know if you're missing A, B, or C, but he just writes that they weren't able to find a suitable match. There is one tshuva in the most unlikely of places, Rabbi Yisrael Yaakov Fisher, who was the Neda Charedis in Yerushalayim. And the shiloh begins that a Rosh Yeshiva came to him with a boy who was in his yeshiva, who was a mamzer, that already has the female, already has the goita, was already willing to go through the whole process, and he asks for direction and how to do it. That's the only case I know where there's actually a recorded history, so to speak, of it actually taking place. So let's learn from scratch. Let's go through Reb Tarfon Zeitza. I'm going to trouble you. First of all, I want to thank once again our dear friend Reb David Shurim for providing the superb copies. Every once in a while I do it, so you can see the difference in quality between the two. One thing he did is the pages are in order and no duplicates, which doesn't happen by me. What I'm going to ask you to do in the copies you have is to turn to Sif Chaf, which requires two flicks of the wrist.
There's no
issue
for her to be married to a mamzer.
There's no issue for her to be married to a mamzer. A ger is allowed to be married to a mamzer, so that's fine. Now, in Sif Chaf, it brings Reb Tarfon Zeitza. Obviously, we'll try to go through your Yadal and through your test in between. But jumping to the Lamaisa, the Mechaber says, Mamzer Habala Akum, Havlad Akum. Okay, that's not Rav Tarfon Zaitza. A manzer who has relations with a non-Jewish woman, the child is non-Jewish, and this guy here, Hariyuki Yisrael, and he's not a mamzer. V'baal ha-shifcha, havlad eved, nishtachrer hoya ben chayrin. And this is the concept of a mamzer having a child through a shifcha kananis, and the child then later is mishuch, he's a ben chayrin, lefikach. And therefore he goes l'maisa. Mamza noise lichat chila. Shifcha shekibla alea mitzvahs. He's allowed, not allowed lichat chila to marry a goyish woman, but he's allowed to marry. The word noise, the mafarshim yaseh, doesn't mean literally nisuin. It means to take as a wife. A shifcha shekibla alea mitzvahs. Tavla l'shem avdus. And she was tavel to be a shifcha kananis. Lahat yabonav shishtachru. Israel. So the Shulchan Aruch says very clearly that that this is permitted. Now, there's a mamzer, and he finds a shifcha kananis,
and
she has to be sold as a shifcha. Yeah,
to
any Jew. I don't know any difference. I'm not sure why it would be any different. He marries her, she sells herself to a Shifcha Kananis, as a Shifcha Kananis, and then...
They
don't need a civil ceremony, it just means to be Yachay, that she can't be a prostitute, because there's a separate Issa to marry a prostitute. She can't. She has to be Miyuchet to him. She has to be only involved with him. And when she's involved with him, and she becomes pregnant, and has a child, the child belongs to the Ardain. Well, she's still a shifcha. While she's a shifcha, she has a child. The child belongs to the master. The child becomes an Eved Kanani. The child of a shifcha Kananis. Right? Ahavti, when in the beginning of Mishpatim, when a man wants to be a nirtza, he says, Ahavti as adaini, as ishtev as banai. What? That's an Eved Ivri, but who's his wife? His wife is a shifcha Kananis.
Because he's a mamzi, he doesn't have to be an Eved.
Right. Okay. So that says here in Beis Shmuel Lamed Aleph. The question is, Yisrael's not allowed to marry a Shifcha Kananis. So how's he allowed to marry a Shifcha Kananis in the first place? Now the question is like both Shitas. The Isra of Yisrael marrying a Shifcha Kananis, the Machlekes, the Rambam against Rashi and Taisvis, if that's an Issa Dairaisa or an Issa Dirabanan. But it's certainly us, again, you're right, I don't mean marry, I mean having relations with. A regular Yisrael is not allowed to be with a Shifcha Kananis. So how is this Eitza? So Beishmuel Amid Aleph brings, all the Rishayim and Kedushin ask it, Beishmuel is just bringing it. Beishmuel starts back on the first side, just the last four words on the pay, on the Beishmuel column. He says, Lashon HaRambam Perek Tezvav, V'loi Gazru Al Shifcha L'mamzer Mibnei Takanas Havlad. The Rambam Shita is that the Issa Shifcha to a regular Jew is a Drabanan. And Chazal specifically weren't geyser, specifically, because the Mishnah doesn't say it's mutar l'chatchila. The Gemara says that it's mutar l'chatchila. Rambam learns, like Gazru, it's this is Rabbanim, they took on a savlad. Chazal wanted this to happen. Umashma, dava mitaris bezek kushu saran. The idea of the Rambam, who doesn't ask kashas and answers, but he means to answer the Ran's kasha, eich mamza neisa shivcha lo chayev b'chala mitzvahs. Mishum takana savlari tiru. The Rambam shita is that it's a drabanan, and the umatif a takana savlari. The tamayazel the sphere like the leka that stands for it's a derisive. Funny abbreviation. Mishivcha kavasho it's a mitazay. Elam drabanan also. Hey mamru vei mamru drabanan uasid. Hey mamru mishum takana savlari mutter. Now avol rabenu tam. It's Rashi and Taisus. Ika isa deraisa. There is an Issa Daraisa, how can he marry her? Mishumhari Hachit Sarat Li Te Tam. Therefore there's a different teretz. The Ran brings our Benu Tam. Hodabut Bishovcha Niksivla Ye Kadesh. Bizer Kadesh Vaimek. Listen to Tais. Tais says, this is to marry a Shivcha. It's Lo Ye Kadesh Bibnei Yisrael. Kadesh is someone who's a mufker, Binyanes Nus. He says, once someone's a mamzer anyway, he personally is not mufker Liznus. But he comes from Psul Yosin. So Taisa's Shita is that by Psal Yochsin there's no Isser Loyiyeh Kadeh. So we have two Terutzim. The Rambam says, Mishum Tekona Savlad Heimamru Veheimamru. And the Taisa's Hall, that's if there's no Isser for a Mamza to marry a Shifcha. Nafkamina. Repeat that. Kadesh is a woman who's, according to his Rishayim, it's a woman who's not, who's having znus, not through marriage.
Okay, so
but it's both of them. This are, and every, as far as I know, every issa znus is issa on both parties, even though the issa stems from one. But. Because it's not through a legal marriage, so therefore it's still Kadesh. He says that since she's that the Islay Kadesh is only someone who's a miyochis, not someone who lacks yochsin. That's Taisus Shita. The next page Shmuel says in Afkami. Kadesh Rebbe means that he lacks yochsin. Kadesh is somebody who's through is a non-marital relationship. Since a mamzer is the product of a non-marital relationship, so therefore, there's no isalay. A kais, a chiddush of taisis. Now,
what happens to her after?
What
happens to her after?
What happens to her after? As long as she wants to have children, she's got to stay. She's got to stay a shifcha until she decides no more children. Unless he finds another one, not so likely. So this is what it says. Now, if you follow, she can walk away from it. If she becomes a shukra, she's automatically divorced, and then she can marry a Yisrael, just not a kayin. The child she has, you have to realize a shifcha kananis has a partial conversion. Any ever kanani a shifcha kananis is toivel l'shem mitzvahs. If they don't want to, we don't force them, but we push them to be toivel l'shem mitzvahs. And ever kanani is mechuyim b'mitzvahs kanashim. A shifcha kananis also mechuyim b'mitzvahs kanashim. And so they're Jewish. They're Jewish. They're not miyuchim. And then when they when they're freed, they become a regular ger or geiris. Now, this eitzah for the mamzer only helps as long as she's not freed.
Right.
She has to remain a shofar kananis.
Right,
then because it'll be a mamzer. So she can be freed after having children. She passes the age of having children, or she says, listen, the shifcha kananis thing by me is a bidiyavid. I'll do it for two children, three children. After that, I want to go free. It's you can have many children, but only until she's freed. As long as she remains, she can be a shifcha kananis for a year or for 100 years. As long as she's a shifcha kananis, the children are ever kanani, and then when you're freed, then it's mutter. If they're being freed, yeah, because a ger is mutter and a mamzer, right? A mamzer is mutter and a ger. So also in a Layovim, the Kahal Hashem, Kahal Hashem is only a born Jew. So the Mechaber in Sifchav says by a Goita it works, except that by a Goita the child has his choices. You know, you want to be Megayer or Cotton, you have to wait till he turns 13. So I didn't get to Nafkamina. Nafkamina. Now, halt kaf just for a minute. It's not so. The Nafkamina between the Rambam and Rabbeinu Tam. Again, the Rambam holds this is the Rabbanon. And for Tekonis of Lad, they weren't guys. Rabbeinu Tam says this is the Rais. He's the Bachmir. But he says the Isser of marrying a Shifcha doesn't apply to someone who's not Miyuchas. It's an inverted Chumrah in a case where the woman is a Mamzeres and she wants to marry an Eved. That's not going to help for her children. But Beishmuel Amidei says if a Mamzeres wants to marry an Eved, so the Rambam said it's an Isser Drabanan, For takanas of lad, they were a geyser. Here, there's no takanas of lad, mamzeres. So according to the Rambam, she's still usher in an eved. Mashiachke according to Taisus. Taisus says the isa lo yekadesh only applies to a miyofis, doesn't apply to a mamzer, wouldn't apply to mamzeres either, and she'd be mutter in an eved. Now she doesn't gain anything as far as her children are concerned, but lamaisa, that's at least a theoretical theoretical nafkamina between the two sides. Now obviously this issue. What? A very interesting household, yeah. I'm sure there'll be a very lumpish group. You have to realize that a mamzer is an elachiyid. He didn't do any averis. He didn't do anything wrong. A mamzer is muvas lo yuchaliska. It's something that happened that he can't fix. It's not his fault that he could be a big Talmud Chacham. A mamzer Talmud Chacham is kaidim to a kain gadol Amoretz. So if he's a mamzer Talmud Chacham, he's ahead of the great majority of Klal Yisrael. But it's very painful. It's a very, very difficult thing. The current shuvas on the topic are mostly in Eretz Yisrael. The Mechas Yitzchak Dayan Weiss was presented with the Shaila Halacha Lamaisa, and he has five or six tshuvas on it. They're all, at least the initial ones, are in Chelek Hei, Tshuva Memvav, I think through Nun. He has tshuvas on the topic, and the problems that he presents are two problems with the Geiris, with the Shifcha process. He says, first of all, they all present the question of Dina de Malchus Adina, whether you could do Shifchas or not, Bizman Hazeh, because the government asks it. And so we will get into a discussion of Dina de Malchus Adina. And secondly, the fact that even if we're not worried about Dina de Malchus Adina, which Jews tend not to worry about too much, there is an issue of Harama. When she's sold as a shivcha, she really means to be sold as a shivcha. She's really, it sounds like a harama. It sounds like, you tell her she's a shivcha, we can have children. Great, I'll be a shivcha. Then afterwards you tell her, okay, now that you're a shivcha, I'll put you to work. She may not exactly be interested. Now, the rule of thumb, which is controversial, but the rule of thumb is that we do haramas by a derabbanan and not by a deraisa. By chametz on Pesach, by mechiras chametz, those who sell household chametz, it's not a haroma, you really mean to sell it, you're not interested in having it, but those who have businesses and very interested in having their chametz motzoi Pesach, it's a question of a haroma. They really they want to have the chametz, they want to open for business on motzoi Pesach or Yisruchag. So we say, the Tvashar has a rule that Harama works by a drabbanan. Since min ha-toyra b'bitl bi-al-masagi, min ha-toyra b'bitl works, and since mechiras chametz is a drabbanan, so we rely Harama on a drabbanan. That's, like I say, the rule of thumb. Some Sefer disagrees. He says there's no such rule, drabbanan deraisa, wherever Chazal said we do, wherever they don't say we don't do. But notwithstanding some Sefer's opinion, the prevalent assumption is that Aramis work for Drabanans and not for Dairaises. Here in the case of Shifcha, it appears to be a Shiloh of a Dairaisa. So, Mechas Yitzchak wants to come up with an Eitzah. Obviously, this was Halacha L'maisa, because, as I said, he has six Tshuvas. And early in Chelek Dalet, he mentions the Shiloh in passing. It wasn't so L'maisa, so he has a short Tshuva on it. Here he has a number of tshuvas. It could be it was the same time that Dayan Fisher actually was Matir doing it. And he says an Eitzah to avoid the Harama issue. There are two issues, Harama and Dina de Malchusa. So let's separate them. Let's talk about Harama. We say Harama works by a Drabana, not by a Deraisa. So how do you switch this to Drabana? Mamzeris is Deraisa. So he suggests the following eitzah to take a woman and be Mekar into a Shifcha on the condition that she gets married only Beheter. In other words, you make her, she buys, sells off a Shifcha on the condition she gets married Beheter. God knows what's a Heter, what's not. We don't know if it's Aram. So he says, be Megayer her. I'm sorry, take a Shifcha. Be Megayer her, free her on the Tanai that she marries Beheter. So now she goes and she marries this mamzer. So now, on the tzad that the shifchus is a real shifchus, so the gerus is not a gerus. Because they did the gerus, she should marry Beheter. She can marry Beheter without the gerus. So then the gerus is not called. They do the gerus on the Tanai, or the shichur on the Tanai, that she needs it to marry this man. So now, if you say it's a harama, and that she's marrying this man, she's a geiris, and she's marrying this man als geiris, which is mutter to a mams. On its side, it's not a harama. She's marrying him, be mitar the children. It's a suffik. Does it work or doesn't it work? Says the Mechas Yitzchak, since suffik mamzer is mutter min atayra, every suffik mamzer is mutter. We'll discuss this next time, the status of suffik mamzer. But it's exeris hakasa, mamzer vaday, v'loy mamzer suffik. He says, if you do it tonight, then when the child is born, the child is a mamzer suffik. Min atayra, mamzer suffik is mutter. It's a drabanon that a mamzer suffik is asr. Now, it's a shavah drabanon, you can rely on the harama. You can rely that the harama works, and that she was never a geirah, she was a shifcha, and you're turning it into an issur drabanan. That's his chap. I mean, he really could do it straight out. Just say, it's a suffik if the harama works or not, and there'll be a shiloh of some mamzeres drabanan, but he can't marry her unless he's mutter in her. So that's why you go through this geirah process. So this is the Mechas Yitzchak's
tshuva
rabba.
First,
get her as a shifcha.
So you don't avoid the din al-chusa.
But you're not sure if it's a harama. She might still be a guy. I said we're separating harama and din al-chusa. Al tarama, this is his sort of convoluted switch. It's not a normal case because you're creating the suffik mamzer in order to make a suffik mamzer mutter. The harama creates the suffik mamzer. That's what he writes in this first tshuva. It's interesting. In the next tshuva, if I can use the expression, he gets cold feet. I have an old rule that when Talmid Chachamim are sitting in front of Shulchan Aruch being dana halacha, they're done purely straight out. When the person is in front of you and needs a heter, there's more of a tendency to find shas v'chaktik a heterim. And that's why you find a lot of coolists that are in the tshuva svarim that are not necessarily straight out in halacha. I don't mean manufactured heterim, but heterim that you rely on shitas. In the beginning, he bends over backwards to create a way to do it, and then it seems he got a little more nervous about it. He says, to do a kula that Klal Yisrael didn't do for generations, I don't want to start doing these types of kulas, and he becomes very hesitant to be matir it halacha l'maisa, and that's what he does. So in Zalman Nechemia Goldberg in the Yeshurun of Toshin Samach apparently had l'maisa. I don't know if all these were dealing with the same people or not, but he also had the Shiloh l'maisa. He always makes makes some type of convoluted tanai. She sells herself for a shifcha, unless you free her. It's a convoluted tanai to turn it into a drabanan to make it mutter. Very, very difficult to imagine. You know, to do it straight out the way it says in the Mishnah is one thing, but to start with all types of tanaim is difficult. Our Kabbalah, at least for my Rebbeim, is that a harama is a harama. But when it's chesha mishpat, it's real. You can tell me you sold me something. You didn't really mean to sell it to me. You only sold me because it's chametz, or because you can tell me whatever you want. If you do a kinyan and I do a kinyan, devarim shebelev einam devarim. If you sell me something, it's sold. If you call the guy in and he sits down and I sell him all my schnapps, it's sold. Now I'm going to say later it was a haroma pesach. What do you mean haroma pesach? He did kinyanim and kinyanim achal, and that's really are pretty much our Kabbalah when it comes to Chayshim Mishpat Kinyanim to say that the Kinyan is Chal. Rabbi Yashiv says about using Het Iskas, where people do mean it, don't mean it. He said, if they're from a Yidna on both sides, they don't want to be Ivis or Ribis. So we assume they mean it for real. There'll be consequences, so they'll deal with the consequences. They're not gonna not gonna backtrack. If you're dealing with someone who's not a from Yid, you're telling him use a heteriska, don't worry, it's all gonna be the same. So it's problematic. But because there's no real binding kinyan in many of these cases. But when you deal with from Yid, they mean it, so the kinyan is chal and zehu. So basically, assuming that this Shivcha Kananis is going to keep mitzvahs, the Isra, the issue of Harama, falls a little by the wayside. What about the Dina the Malchusa Dina aspect, which is, of course, everyone's favorite topic, because Dina Malchusa Dina has many, many applications. In Dina de Malchus HaDina, there are two or three topics. One is the old dispute, the Rishayim, if there's a Dina de Malchus HaDina in Eretz Yisrael. The Ran, Mesechtes Nedarim, brings B'Shem the Rashba, that Dina Malchus HaDina does not apply in Eretz Yisrael, that Yidden have a right to be in Eretz Yisrael. The Ran says, what power is Dina de Malchus HaDina? And the king says, look, you want to live in my country, follow the rules. You don't want, leave. But in Eretz Yisrael, Jews have an inherent right to live there. And the Ran says, there's no power of Dina de Malchus HaDina in Eretz Yisrael, the Ran B'Shem HaRashba. And I think in Israel, the Israelis are very familiar with this Shitas HaRashba. Rav Palm used to say that the Rambam is very clearly disagrees. The Rambam says there's Dina Malchus in Eretz Yisrael, and besides that, the Rashbam gives a different reason for Dina Malchus and Dina than the Ran. The Rambam wasn't so satisfied with it, but he said, you know, I'm a Chutz Laaretz, I could say one thing, but in Eretz Yisrael, they go with Dina Malchus and Dina. In Eretz Yisrael, they say there's no Dina Malchus and Dina, and in Mele in Eretz Yisrael, it works that way. I just wonder if the Friar Yidden in Eretz Yisrael followed Dina de Malchus either. I'm not 100% sure. But, so that's Heta number one. What?
In theory they do.
In theory they do. In theory they do. Okay. The, now, what about, putting aside the Rad and the Rashba's Heta, Dina de Malchus, Dina, we have a very broad kula of the Igros Moshe. The Igros Moshe is not talking about Rav Tarfon. But the Igros Moshe is matir, following the spirit of Dina de Malchusa, without following the letter of the law, totally. Right? In Rav Moshe's case, you remember we talked about adopting a non-Jewish child, and being Megayer. A childless couple wants to adopt a non-Jewish child, and they Megayer him, and then when he turns 12 or 13, he has a right to back out. They don't want to give him a choice of backing out, and they also don't want to tell him he's adopted. So Rav Moshe is against raising a child and not telling him he's adopted. He's b'shita against it. But he says, if you want to do it, and you don't want to tell him, the only way to do it is to buy him as an eved. A parent has a right to sell a child, a Kanani, as an eved Kanani. If the parent will sell the child to you as an eved Kanani, and then you m'shachar him, and megayer him, and eved Kanani is megayer, then he has no right to back out when he turns 13. Because an Eved Shadishtacher is a separate Asari Yuchsin. There's Kayin Levi Yisrael Ger and Shechruria. Charuria is called the Mishnah. So Rav Moshe says, what?
A guy can't have Shabbos. So then you must tell the 11-year-old kid.
He's not a guy. If he's an Eved, then you're Mishachrer. Mishachar means you free him. You buy immediately. You get sold to you as a, and you free him. Now, Rabbi says, what about Dina Malchus HaDina? You're not allowed to buy Avadim. So he says, look, the government doesn't recognize our, understand the rules of Yiddishkeit. If they would understand that we're not going against the spirit of the law, we're selling him as an Eved in order to be Mishachar right away, that he should have a happy home, So, even though it violates the letter of the law, it doesn't violate the spirit of the law. You don't intend to work with him as an eved. And Rav Moshe's mat here. I mentioned last time Rav Shlomo Kluge, and some people here told me it's a Chassam Sefer. Said, look, it is a true Chassam Sefer, or a Chaim Kuf Yud Gimel, regarding paying sales tax on Mefiras Chametz. The question is, when you sell the Chametz to a guy, we typically do not pay a sales tax. When we sell it to the guy and we buy it back. Now, we sell the Chametz to a guy, it's not undone after Pesach. It's a final permanent sale, and after Pesach, we buy it back. So why don't we pay sales tax when we sell the chametz to the guy? Who pays the sales tax? The buyer or the seller? It's wholesale. So it's not conditional. It's a final sale. It will be conditional. No, if it will be conditional, then later the sale is invalid. The person's able to buy your matzah. It's a final sale. The final price to be determined. And it's a final sale. So what about sales tax? Now, some says, and if you sell without sales tax, in his government, they didn't recognize the sale.
You're
saying not pay sales tax twice. Okay. If somebody buys flour and pays sales tax, and then he makes challahs out of the flour and sells the challah, he doesn't have to, there's no sales tax? Okay. Maybe it's a wholesale. Maybe in some safest time, wholesale is played as well. It was a government stempel. You needed a stempel. That was in effect a tax. Some safer writes that if the government would understand the way this mechira works, it's not a typical mechira. It's a mechira that's legally sold, but not practical terms sold. Government would understand. They would. They'll be okay with it. So the Shail tells him, what do you mean, they would be okay? He says, no, they are okay. The taxes are not meant for these types of sales. He defends it. And again, it gets the letter of the law, but not the spirit of the law. And that's the heter of the Chassam Sefer. Now, it's a dangerous heter. Dangerous and it's useful. It's a strange thing. I know if Palm was matir, people who get wick. People are eligible to take government money and not eligible for is Geneva. That is no Shaila. Somebody who underreports income and avoids income tax because he holds it's of course Salvasa, Heterim. There might be Heterim for avoiding payment. There's no Heter to take benefits that you're not entitled to. That's straight Geneva. By underreporting sales, I become eligible, but they're not really eligible. And that's out now, Geneva, to take benefits you're not entitled to. There's no sheet in the world that holds you allowed to take that money. The Rapam was mati, people are eligible and have WIC dollars, which are themselves very federal rule. It's crazy. Like, they give you $5 for a dozen eggs, or what are you supposed to do exactly with... Well, they give you 6 dozen eggs for the week. It's totally, to a great degree, arbitrary and how it's done. Rapam was matir, as long as you buy healthy food for the children, it's intended for children. So you buy healthy food, he said that you could use it. So again, it's the spirit of the law rather than the letter of the law. You have to be careful because it can be abused. But as far as what we're learning now, it seems to be an eitzah to deal with it. So I've told you so far two Heterim Medina Malchusa. Number one, Eretz Yisrael. Number two, the fact that if it doesn't violate the spirit of the law, it's okay. Now, does the Mishnah Brura talk about this, Reb Tarfon? So interestingly enough, there's actually a Mishnah Brura on it. Where in the world would the Mishnah Brura talk about it? It's Simin Shin Dalim, Simin Dalit Shin in Hilcha Shabbos. Al Eze Eved Mitzuva Al Shvisasai. There's a Simin. On Shvisas Avdai. Now we don't put this at the forefront of Hilchos Shabbos that we have to learn every day because we don't have Avadim. But an Eved is not like a worker. A worker has their rules for what a worker is allowed to do for you and their Heterim. An Eved is absolutely Aser. The Mishnah Brura at the end of Simon Shindal, the last Mishnah Brura says, B'makim shehamelach gozar shein shum adam chutz mi datam yachal liknois eved va'ama. A place where Jews are not allowed to buy slaves. The king made a gzeira. The law of the land is that a Jew is not permitted to buy servants. So he says, oh, that's great. Yechayim lahav yireish b'shabbos. Davakas sachir ma'alma. If you have a slave, and he's working for you, he's not really a slave. Dina Machusa doesn't recognize it. He has din of a worker. If he's din of a worker, so he can do malacha for himself. He lives in the house, he's cold, he wants to turn on the fire. Now, if he's a real Eved Kenani, you know, let him do work on Shabbos. But since Dina Machusa, he's not an Eved, so you're allowed to let him do work on Shabbos. Avol Yesh Chalkin. He brings a second sheet. Yesh Chalkin Sfirulei. Da'af Atah Gufan Konli Yisrael. How do you decide between the two shittas? He says, "Aksur shapayrin karga bad avod nemishvachais." If you pay taxes on behalf of the eved and the shivcha, as, I guess as a slave, l'kuliyama gufan kanoi vasurim b'malacha. It's a chumra. They have a din eved even against dina b'achusa, and the asa b'malacha. V'chein l'kula shiachol mamzalisa shivcha ve'eved mamzeres. So he says, Mishabur brings. This heter, Yochel Mamza Lisa Shivcha, and he also has an Eved Kamari Mamzeres, which was the Beishmol. But the Mishnah Bura says that Bizman Hazeh it's okay. He seems to say, even against Dina the Machusa, that it's okay.
You know, the present government, Jews living in our history, is that Dina Machusa, the government?
There is limited Dina Machusa, even in an oppressive government. Gzeir is made against religion, or not Dina the Machusa. But the Ramon, Yen of Simishin Samach Tes, limits what Dina the Machusa applies to. He says Dina Machusa has to be Letaivas Hamalchus. It has to be something, taxes, or Takanas Hadrachim, that benefit the Malchus, that benefit the king. He says the king says that you're not allowed to deen him. Two Jews have a dispute, they must go to court. There's no din of the machus. It doesn't benefit the king. What does the king care if two Jews go to a bez instead of going to court? It doesn't benefit the king. It's just an oppressive measure to make the Jews have less autonomy. This is the example of Shulchan Aruch, though. The Ramah gives this example as something that's not directly L'tavis HaMelech and not L'takanas HaDrachim. Because HaDrachim means rules of the road. The government owns the roads and they have Takanas HaDrachim. But how far this goes is not so clear, especially the early Achrayim, even the middle Achrayim, were afraid to write about this. They lived under the Tsar. You weren't going to write that Dina Machusa doesn't apply. So even though the Ramah made it through the censors somehow, but the reach of Dina Machusa Dina is definitely limited. We go with the Ramah. The question is how limited it is, and that already is a up for discussion. It has to be Takanas HaMalchus. It has to be something for the benefit of the king, and it means a real direct benefit, not just that he's the boss, so you listen to me, that's not enough. It's got to be something that's a direct benefit, and in Mela, there's a limitation on Dina the Machusa. So we have three possible heterim of Dina Machusa, Eretz Yisrael, the spirit of the law, and then the limitations of Dina Machusa. With all that, Diane Fisher suggests, I believe I mentioned last week, that when they buy the Shivcha, they should go to the embassy of a foreign government. The law of the land is that in the embassy, the laws of the host, not the host country, the guest country, those laws apply. I don't know, have a list of which countries permit slavery these days. I don't know. What? Used to be Saudi Arabia. So is it today? I don't know. Got to find some country that allows it. Even if the country doesn't say anything about it, they just don't forbid it, don't allow it. So to go out to there and do it there, and then we're avoid the issue of Dina Machusa Dina.
How do you avoid it when you get out?
So once she sold as a shivcha, she sold as a shivcha. What are you supposed to do when you get out?
The government.
Government said what? You can't treat her. Well, they can't treat her as a slave. She's a slave. What are you going to do now? She's a slave. She was sold as a slave. Now you move to America. What do you do now? Well, what does the law say? I don't know. It's, what?
She continues to have children. She has to stay that way.
She stays that way. I'm not violating Dina Machusa B'Sheva Otasa. What am I doing? So, okay. The Emancipation Proclamation emancipated the slaves of 1960, whatever it was. She was sold to a Jew. She's a non-Jew. Was sold herself. A good God would sell himself as an Eved. Herself as a shifter. Go into international waters. One of those casinos that they have. You go to one of those casinos and you know. You're right, you're right. There are no laws there. What? Oh, an Indian reservation, okay. You're not doing anything. You just the fact is, you own. What are you supposed to do exactly? You know, Lincoln freed the slaves. Anybody had a slave in 1860 was emancipated, but they don't re-emancipate them every couple of years. It's, you know, it's it was done once. And
he told us that the mamzer was no hefter any way to fix the mamzer anymore. There was, but no more.
Shkaya. All right, so this is the now this we just finished half the story, okay? We finished half the story. It's interesting, like we say, Mizolnish Darfin. The Marsha is a kasha, and the Samach test is the Issa Deraisa to free a shivcha loylam em tavaydu. What's the heter to free the child once the child is born? The Marsha asks it as a kasha. It's a little straight. She asked it on Rashi in the Gemara. The Mepharshim say she asked it straight on the Gemara. But it is a loy lamem tavaydu. But there's a ran in the Dorim, the Rishash, on the Masha, there's a ran in the Dorim. I think you all know that it was a Rav Gamliel who was Meshacher his Eved, because he needed a minion. He was the only nine people, and he needed a tenth person, so he was Meshacher his Eved. So the ran says, the Gemara is Laila Mem Tavairu, Mitzvah Bavaveiru, the Gemara says. So what? Mitzvah, so there are two Gemaras, in Barachas and in Gittin. The Barachas says Mitzvah the Rav Mishani. In Gittin, the Ran explains that the Isser is like Loisechanein. You're not allowed to free an Eved for the sake of the Eved. You're not free him for his sake. But if you're doing it for your Taiva, then you're allowed to do it. And since he was freeing the Eved for his Taiva because he wanted to have minyan, so Mamela, it's mutter, and he says, who had din for money? If somebody pays you money to free the Eved, you're allowed to free the Eved for money. Behind the cost of Arif, it was his Lashon, Kesef, Bekesef Hitiros HaMamzerim, some Lashon like that, that because it's Mutaivasai, the Mamzerim could go through this whole process, and you have this Eved. What? So here also, once you have a child from a shivcha, why are you freeing the child? Because you want to have a child. You want to have a kosher child. So once you're doing it for your own good, your own sake, so memela, that's what the Rishash says. Okay, now, we solved the problem of mamzerus. We still have to discuss suffix mamzerus. I want to please turn back this if you're dalid. I wanted to move on a little in the Shulchan Aruch. It's a case of suffix mamzerus, and we're going to get into a discussion of using this heter. They bring that the Yisro Chai Knievsky about this heter. He said that the Dodina Machusa said no avodim is not as the heter should fall apart. So Reb Chaim said, if it's not Shaykh Avodim Bismanazeh, we wouldn't be allowed to make a bracha Shlo Yasani Eved in the morning. If it's not Shaykh, they write there, those who hold that Tisha B'Av, you don't say Shasali Kol Tzarki. If Shasali Kol goes on shoes, so you don't say it. If it's not Shaykh, you don't say the bracha. He said, if now it's not Shaykh Avodim, we couldn't say Shlo Yasani Eved. So he says, it must be that Shaykh Avodim Bismanazeh. So I don't know if it's enough that it's Shaykh in the foreign embassy, but that was Rav Chaim's line. Shlo Yasani Shivcha, Lo Yasani Goya. Yeah, there's such a nusa for the women. Yeah, okay. The video heard around the world. Yeah, I mentioned once that we had, he's not in yeshiva anymore, we had a boy in the Masifta who was a Ger Katan. He was a Ger Katan. Actually, they came from Russia. His father was Jewish, his mother was not. and they're raising their kids, their children a Jewish way, and he wasn't. They made him a ger katan before he came to yeshiva. He was a ger katan, and interestingly, he turned 13 and he came to me. He says he wants a ksav that he was mekabel mitzvahs. He wants a written ksav that he was mekabel mitzvahs after his bar mitzvah, and that he's a yid. So I don't know. He said he wants it. He wants to be able to prove that he's a full-fledged Jew. So I told him to bring his ksav geiris. The bezdin did the geiris, and we've made a bezdin. He was makabel, and we wrote on the bottom that on this day in front of us, he was makabel mitzvahs, and he just wanted. He shouldn't be a Jew with an asterisk, you know, like he's a Jew, but he has a makabel mitzvahs. He was a makabel mitzvahs, and he's a full-fledged Jew. That's what he wanted. What? Comes out of the Shidduch questionnaire. Okay. All right. This boy, a very frum boy. I don't think I have any question. Sif Yudalit. A fascinating Sif, which actually happened a couple of times in the Tshuva Svarim. Very, very hard to swallow. Let's see what it says. Yisha Shaya Baila B'Medina Sayam. Okay, the typical case of Mamzer is Rachman Olatzlan, an Eisha Sish, who becomes pregnant from a different man. The other types of mamzeris by relatives are not common. There's no yetzahara for relatives. The main problem is an eshes ish. Now here you have an eshes ish whose husband traveled to Medina Sayam. Mishal sham yosem yud beis chaydish. He's away for a year. V'yolda acha yud beis chaydish. And if more than a year after her husband left, she gave birth. Havlad mamzer. No child, no pregnancy is more than 12 months. Might feel like more than 12 months, but it's never more than 12 months. Some say even then, we say maybe it's a more than 12 month pregnancy. And he says, given the pluktu, have a suffix mamzer. Interesting. That means there's a possibility that the pregnancy was 12 months. Now, I don't know today that we heard of such a thing of a 12-month pregnancy or more than 12-month pregnancy. There are more.
You'll see the Ambati case, maybe, make it Kiyamam.
So, Taisus, yes, why we're not Chesh Ambati. Taisus is not Shchiyach. Taisus says. Hagar, Avot Toich Yud Beis Chaydesh, Ein Lochush. Yeah, she gives birth within 12 months, 9.5 months later. That he was in his mother's womb for 12 months, almost 12 months. However, it's only if she appears to be a regular frum, sneistika woman. So something went wrong. So we say maybe it was a long pregnancy. But if we see that she's not a woman who's sinua, she runs around with other men, then lo yaminu dishtoi kolkach, we don't say it was a 12-month pregnancy, v'chayshin alei, and we're afraid that the child is a mamzer, v'chayshit that the child is a mamzer, and not from the original husband. Take a look on the page you're on, in the Pischei Tshuva, the third line on your page, it says, b'seifa gama mela simin kuf lamin. Listen to this. Beisha shaholach bailo medina sayam. V'yolda takeuf l'prishasai. As soon as he left, she gave birth. There's no problem. So let's say he left in Nisan. She gave birth in Iyar. So it's a child from her husband. Then va'acha kama chadashim, says the parentheses, either 7 or 9 months later. Yolda oid. She gave birth again. So it's within. It's less than 12 months from when her husband left, but she already gave birth once. She gave birth after he left, and then 7 to 9 months later gave birth again. So listen to what the Gan Hamelach says. Well, if you got pregnant again, it's bad news. The husband wasn't in town. Who'd you become pregnant from? Well, the husband left. The husband left in this. She gave birth in the year.
Okay. And she now. It was boiled all those 8 months
no.
Before.
He was bio before Nissen. He left Rish Chaydish Nissen. She was already pregnant when he left.
During those 8 months.
It's probably 8 months. So during those 8 months, she's carrying a baby.
You can't get pregnant again.
So we're going to see it a bit. We're going to talk about it. See, normally a woman doesn't ovulate again. So she gave birth in Iyar, and then she gives birth 7 9 months later, which is still within 12 months of when he left, but she gave birth in between. So the Gama Mela says, what you started to say, he says, even though a woman doesn't become pregnant during a pregnancy, become pregnant again. That's what the Gan HaMelech says. The child is kosher. On that, Gan HaMelech, the Chidah is quoting the Gan HaMelech. On that, the Chidah says, "Ain't list my chalav. Who ever heard of such a thing? The lechol hashitais ain't chayzres or misabres vaad kayama. Not possible. She had a second child that's viable. They kind of fill a miyuta. It's not even a miyut. Lechein avlad mamzer. Lechein b'sef yad aron tamalo b'zeh." So it's a fascinating case. We would say she's a prutza. She gave birth, and then 9 months later gave birth again. Most of us would assume that she's a prutza.
So she cannot conceive while she's pregnant.
She can't. You know, a woman doesn't ovulate when she's pregnant. The Gemara does talk about the woman becoming pregnant while she's pregnant, but she says then it messes up the child's asana. One over destroys the other, and it's not possible. Sandal. So if they had two viable children, then it's not shy. If the husband says he didn't come back, we don't assume that he came back. In the 21st century, people fly all over the place. Once upon a time, it just wasn't that way. Now, what's fascinating is the Gemara relates that Reb Chiya, Chizkiya of Yehuda Achi, Reb Chiya's wife, who's a personality unto herself all over Nach, she was pregnant with twins and gave birth to one in 7 months and the other one after 9 months. She had twins that were 2 months apart, not the same bar mitzvah day. They were 2 months apart, and the Gemara seems to say that she was once pregnant and she heard her husband darshining that women are matsuya and pururavun. It was a hot pregnancy. She drank kai shalikrin and she lost the child. So like Hakadosh Baruch Hu gave her back, that next pregnancy she went through two labors. That seems to be the implied moral of the story. So we were doing it upstairs. Daf Yaimi was up to it, so Dr. Babbage, who's any Gemara has to do with science, he's into it. So it's sad that we never heard of such a thing. A woman is in labor, she's carrying two children, and she gives birth to one twin after 7 months and one twin after 9 months. Who ever heard of such a thing? So, of course, Dr. Babbage brought in an article from a medical journal that it happens. It was an article, it wasn't 2 months apart, it was a week or two apart, about a woman. In the third world country, because here they do sonograms, or maybe it was before sonograms were prevalent, but it was one of the Pakistan, one of these countries. A woman gave birth, and she thought she only was carrying one child. And then 2 weeks later, she goes into labor, and bang, has a second child. How's it possible? It says there, I forgot the name of the condition, there are women who have a split uterus, and they actually have, for practical matters, a double uterus. And they can give birth to two children, 2 months apart. So it's possible. So that's the issue. The issue is, so it says that they can give birth 2 months apart, but that they can conceive 2 months apart, that's not what it's talking about. So I don't know. This Gan HaMelech says that she could be carrying one child and conceive a second child, give birth 7 months later. So that, Akkadei Kach, it doesn't say. The assumption is Yehuda and Chizkiya, the conception was at the same time. Now, yes.
How common is it after the
So how common? The question is how common it has to be. If a woman is a prutza, and then we don't assume that things that are miyuta to miyuta happen, things that are highly unlikely, why would I assume it happened? However, if a woman, now who's going to measure, there's no thermometer to measure if a woman's a prutza or a tsunua. But if it appears to Bezdin that she's a regular tsunua and all everything she does, she's not a chashuda, so then when something happens, we look for an unusual explanation for an unusual circumstance.
Can you use or must you use DNA testing?
So the issue of DNA testing, I mentioned the other week, is acceptable in halacha within certain conditions. They require a duplicate or triplicate testing. And the question is whether you need a nemum, someone who's nemum in Bezdin to do the testing. In other words, the Eidus in Bezdin has to come from a kashal Eidus. But so under certain conditions, DNA testing is definitely acceptable. Rabbi Yashem writes that to try to avoid as much as you could throwing people to DNA testing, if it's necessary, you could do it. Maybe in such a case, it would be, if she insists it's from her husband, I guess it would make sense to... if the child would otherwise be a mamzer, I'd rather do DNA testing and try to find...
But what would you avoid DNA testing in case of a suffering mamzer?
In case of a suffering mamzer, we want it because the suffering mamzer is stuck. He's also... So mamzer is all, it's mutter min haTorah, but also midrabbanan. Suffering is also, so I'd rather do DNA testing. And either way, he'll be better. If he's a kosher, he'll be better. And he's a vade mamzer, he's still better than a suffering mamzer. Some mamzer can't marry a mamzeres, and a mamzer could. He's stuck the same for life, whether he's a suffering mamzer or a vade mamzer. He's stuck the same. Now, we have the issue that a vade mamzer can marry a shivcha. A suffering mamzer may not be able to. So there's a pisrei tshuva on using Rav Tafin's Eitz for a suffering mamzer. So I'll leave you in suspense. And it's Hashem until next time.